Adam Schein Podcast.
Episode number 4, the Adam Schein Podcast. And this is going to be the single greatest episode in the history of the Adam Schein Podcast. Gary Vaynerchuk, the CEO of Vayner Sports, Vayner Media, entrepreneur, is going to join us. He is a diehard, psychotic sports fan, one of the smartest people I've ever met. And he represents Kyle Allen, by the way, the new quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. He's going to join us for an episode and an interview that you don't want to miss. We got a few great topics for you to get the party started here for episode number 4. We need to get into the Cleveland Browns' worst fears coming true. Patrick Mahomes, MVP Patty, and how about the dumpster fire that is your Washington Redskins? Listen, I was all in on the Cleveland Browns to start the year. I said they would win 10 games, good enough to win the division. My worst fear for Cleveland, Freddie Kitchens. I hated the hire. This was a shotgun marriage. In no universe did John Dorsey, and he took the job knowing he was going to fire Hugh Jackson. He never had Freddie Kitchens on his short list. He didn't even consider him as an interim coach. But Freddie Kitchens took over the play calling last year and clicked with Baker, and somehow they named him the coach, and he was never qualified. And Freddie Kitchens on Sunday night against the Rams couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. If the Browns had a real head coach, they would have won that game. The draw on 4th and 9? Freddie, come back to us. What is this, amateur hour? 9:14 to go? Down 17-13? Are you kidding me? And that final drive, just awful, horrendous. You know, Al Michaels almost fell out of the booth. He didn't know how to use the timeouts at the beginning of that drive. And then goal to go after the Aaron Donald penalty. You could run, Freddie. Run or throw it to Odell. Just a disaster, 4 botched plays, terrible job in terms of managing the game, managing the clock, don't run the ball, don't get it to Odell. And then Freddie's in his post-game news conference. He's chomping on the gum. Just totally disrespectful. I mean, how did this guy get a job? I mean, I first guess all this on our SiriusXM radio show. I said, this is my one yeah but for the Cleveland Browns. And this is the worst fear for Cleveland coming true. Now, it's not over. It's not over. The Ravens lost in Kansas City this past week. And now we have a gigantic week number 4 game with the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Cleveland Browns. Now, coaching matchup clearly favors John Harbaugh. Sean McVay coached the pants off of Freddie Kitchens. Freddie was sans pants by the end of that game. The matchup for the coach clearly favors the Baltimore Ravens. You know, the Cleveland offensive line is not great. The discipline is not there. This is going to be a sensational sporting event coming up on Sunday. It's a pretty gigantic week 4 game. I don't think it's exaggeration to say that Freddie's on the hot seat. Look, if this thing fails, I could see him being one and done. With all that talent, if they don't make the playoffs, and Freddie is the reason why, he's letting all of Cleveland down. I mean, this is a disaster. I can't wait for this game. It's a pretty huge one coming up for the immediate presence and the future for the Cleveland Browns. When you talk stories in the NFL, make sure top of the list is always Patrick Mahomes. Don't let his genius and his greatness become ordinary. You know, Dak Prescott has been incredible. Lamar Jackson had 2 great games. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes is winning another MVP. How about all those pundits, the media elites, the foolish critics? Oh, Patrick Mahomes is going to take a step back. Step back from what? The guy last year, that was his first year as a starting quarterback. He's only getting better. He's a genius. He's a freak. He's an incredible athlete. He's playing for Andy Reid, who's unbelievable as a head coach. I mean, the guy is Steph Curry meets Kevin Durant. He's incredible. He's the best show in all of sports. He has the sizzle, and he's the most dominant player. 3 games for Patrick Mahomes. All 3, 370-plus passing yards, 3 or more touchdowns, 0 interceptions. There are other great historical nuggets for Mahomes. That right there, that's it. You know, and by the way, they've got a tough game this week against the Detroit Lions, who are 2-0-1. Lions looked really strong in every phase against Philadelphia. In theory, normal teams, normal quarterbacks, great teams, great quarterbacks, they lose in Detroit. That's the way it works over the course of a 16-game season. I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes. MV Patty. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes has been on Shine On Sports on our SiriusXM radio show. I have his permission to call him Patty. Final topic for you as we get you set for week number four in the National Football League. Dumpster fires have called us and asked us to stop comparing them to the Washington Redskins. They are offended by the comparison. It's ugly early. It's ugly always. I mean, Case Keenum, the problem with Case Keenum is he's Case Keenum. Jay Gruden doubling down after the Monday night debacle, saying, we're going to play Case Keenum week four against the Giants. Oh, good. Excellent. You drafted Dwayne Haskins, who I loved at Ohio State, loved that draft pick in the first round. I didn't draft him. You drafted him. Play him. It should be Haskins versus Danny Dimes. It's not difficult, but it's the Redskins. And it starts at the top. Daniel Snyder is one of the worst owners in sports. Bruce Allen, I mean, he's awful at his job. He's only there because he's a puppet for Daniel Snyder. The offensive line is terrible. Trent Williams won't even bother showing up. It's not money. It's because there's a lack of trust with him in the organization when it comes to health and it comes to injuries. And that's kind of a mess, and that's kind of a disaster. Which, if that's a problem, trade him. Should have traded him in the preseason. You go trade him to the Cleveland Browns. Trade him to the Patriots. Get a first-round pick plus. But the Redskins are the worst, and it's amazing. Even without Saquon Barkley, the Giants have a great opportunity to somehow improve to 2-2. Danny Dimes against Case Keenum. Let's see if Jay Gruden gets fired after they lose this one. The great Gary Vaynerchuk joins us next on the Adam Schein Podcast.
Shine On Sports with Adam Schein.
My guy from the Houston Texans, the great DeAndre Hopkins. I've been saying it literally for years. Best receiver in the National Football League. Any argument from you?
No argument at all, man. You know, I think some will try to debate it, but no receiver, I think, could put up the numbers I have with the situation I've been in. For me, it's no debate.
Shine On Sports. Weekdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio. SiriusXM Channel 82.
Our special guest today on the Adam Schein Podcast, my guy, the great Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk, who is the CEO of VaynerMedia, Vayner Sports, entrepreneur. He is absolutely positively incredible. He's an investor, and he's a diehard football fan and Jets fan, and he joins us here on the Adam Schein Podcast. Gary, how are you?
I am doing well, Adam. I am doing quite well. How are you?
I am great. And, you know, I just gave a lot of words and, you know, go through the bio. Anyone could read that on Twitter or Instagram. You know, a lot of friends of mine, they know that I've known you for a long time. I love you. And we've been friends for a while. How would you describe what you do?
I would say I'm an entrepreneur. You know, obviously, actively right now, I'm a CEO of a 1,000-person agency that is the contemporary version of Mad Men. For anybody who's watched that, we are like kind of the disruptive company on Madison Avenue helping Pepsi, Chase, Budweiser do marketing on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and podcasts. So that's really what I'm doing. Obviously, I'm deploying those tactics on myself around my ideas and thoughts and what have you. And then also I do a lot of investing and, you know, I had a family wine business that I'm always passionate about. But in its essence, I'm a CEO of a very large global company in the modern day communications world.
I think it's a brilliant way to phrase it, and what you have done, it's remarkable. And, you know, simply put, Gary, and I've known you for a while, I'm in awe of it, seriously. You are light years ahead of the curve on so many things, and branding and marketing and investing, and, you know, also your life advice, seriously, on Instagram and Twitter. I mean, I'm sure you get this from a lot of people, but it's genuinely inspiring.
I appreciate it. Look, I have an incredible all-time mother and dad, and circumstance of being an immigrant and working hard, and just have a lot of, no different than LeBron can do what LeBron does, right? Or somebody's going to run, you know, a 4-1-40 and blow everybody's mind. I was gifted with emotional intelligence and practiced it. And so, you know, it's really funny. I don't want to be a motivational character. I don't want to be in the life advice business. But I do believe, when I look at things, look, I hate them with all my heart, but the Patriots or or other successful athletes, because let's talk sports. Like, and now that I'm in the sports representation business, we have 27 NFL players. Chris Jones, actually, this is perfect. Chris Jones, or actually way more perfect. I don't know if you know this, Adam, but Vayner Sports represents Kyle Allen.
I was just going to bring him up. Yeah, of course.
So why? Why did we spend a lot of money getting him, you know, the best training, all the dollars that are, so, you know, anybody who's a businessman or woman knows that being in the business of UDFA football players is a bad, bad idea. It costs a lot of money to prep for the draft. You don't get drafted. You get 40 cents to be on a practice squad. Kyle was on the street multiple weeks last year. Mm-hmm. You're not making any of your 10, 15, 20% big on marketing on somebody who nobody wants to give marketing dollars to. Why? Why? Because I knew who Kyle Allen, the human being, was. And he had raw talent, of course. And all. So nonetheless, I guess I'm going on one big rant of, there are some foundational truths in human beings. And when I talk about happiness or perspective or time or patience or humility or empathy or work ethic, I believe those things to be true in business and sports and in life. And so I appreciate the compliment, and I'm excited to be on the show.
Yeah. And listen, I agree with that in terms of, you know, I get a lot of my traits from my mom and my dad and from their background, and gifted with emotional intelligence. I love that. You know, Kyle Allen, what a story.
Yes.
I mean, and you think about his background, you know, a top recruit, 5-star guy. We know what happened with Kyler Murray. We know what happened with Coach Sumlin. We know what happened with the transferring. You know, undrafted free agent. I mean, Gary, when I watch him play, I'm kind of blown away, not only by his skill, but he's a leader. The guys love him. You know, he knows how to take the other 10 guys in the huddle and elevate their play. You know, how did you know that Kyle Allen was going to be this kind of player and this kind of investment?
Jordan Palmer. Let's start with the truth. Jordan Palmer is one of the great, you know, obviously had a long NFL career being usually and normally a third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Obviously his brother had a, you know, Hall of Fame career. When we got into the business, we became friendly. You know, I was very fascinated by his growth, and he's accelerated dramatically even in the last 3 or 4 years, training the Darnolds and the Josh Allens and, you know, you know, Drew Locks. I mean, he's really obviously one of the forces in getting guys prepped for the draft. He calls me. He's like, I think this is, and my brother AJ, who's really running Vayner Sports, and says, I have a, you know, I know you guys now, and I feel like this guy might be one of your guys. And I really, there's something in it. You know, we met him. It clicked immediately. And then honestly, like, good business, right? He's a 5-star recruit. He's the recruit, by the way, in the Darnold, Baker, you know, Rosen, you know, Lamar. He's the guy.
Yep.
He goes and has an incredible freshman year. Then the whole Kyler thing. Kyler's a Texas high school legend. All the, you know, I'm a businessman, so I understand that the boosters are putting pressure on the coach. Coach gets into a pickle. They both transfer out. And then he goes to Houston for Coach Herman. And then during the sit-out year, Herman goes to UT.
Which is crazy when you consider all that, yeah.
Correct. And so I'm logical and practical and thoughtful and said, look, I can buy in to the circumstance here and say it's not just talent. Like, you know, there are circumstances. I still believe that Patrick Ewing would have 3 rings if he had different players around him. I genuinely believe
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, me too.
And so I think that it made sense. We loved him. And very honestly, why Vayner Sports exists, I think we're going to be a paradigm shift in the industry. A lot of these kids, we're going to make a lot more money off the field. We're going to make them much more prepared for life. And very honestly, this is actually the truth. I remember leaving the conversation saying, you know what? If he doesn't make it in the NFL, I would love to hire this kid for VaynerMedia and have him as an executive in my company.
Wow.
So that's the answer. And then the reason he was a five-star recruit and the intangibles is the reason that – and by the way, big shout-out to Cam Newton, who completely embraced him last year, said, I want this guy here, and like – and really encouraged him with his week 16 start last year that, you know, was the backups of the Saints, but you saw a glimmer there. I don't have any context of, you know, what's going on now. I just don't. But he gets this start, and like, and you like, listen, this is out of poetry, right?
Right.
Back home in Arizona.
It's amazing.
Is the game against Kyler, and he lights it up like a Christmas tree. And look, I really and then I go into my Jets fandom. I'm like, man, I tried to get the Jets to consider him as the third string last year behind town. Like, you start getting into that stuff. Anyway, nonetheless, it's not that you know, because that would be a lie. And especially with injuries and a million other variables in football, it's super difficult. But I knew who the human being was. And that's something I enjoy quite a bit. And honestly, I'm a crazy fan to your point, know a lot about sports, have been friendly-ish with players through the years more lately, but now actually being in the business, I'm surprised that teams miss so much. I'm not going to put humans on blast, but there's a guys already 2 or 3 years into their careers out of the NFL that when I watched our team recruit them, or if I met them at the draft, or how I watched them interact with their mom at the draft in the green room, like, I'm surprised that the NFL doesn't do more emotional intelligence vetting. They get a little too enamored with bench pressing and 40 times. And some of this stuff is very obvious.
Hit on that, because, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, we interview players all the time. You know, players will come in, you know, and they got to have their entourage. And it's funny, my producer, Bob Stu, is nodding his head. He knows where I'm going to go with this. Patrick Mahomes walked in for an interview with his mom. And the way he was talking to his mom, I was like, wow, this kid is a different kind of human. This is even before the interview, Gary.
No, I get it, brother.
So how come these NFL teams don't understand that, or don't wrap their brains around that?
You know where I'm going to go with this, actually? This is really fun. I'm going to get to pay you a compliment, because I don't know if I've ever told you this. Maybe, because I think I actually do remember telling you this, but I'm going to say it because I want everybody to hear it.
Okay.
The first 18 seconds of watching you on SNY with Jet Stuff, I turned to my crew and said, this guy's going to fucking win. like I don't know what else to say. Like I don't know. By the way, I do know, because a lot of people aren't good at judging emotional intelligence.
Right.
Everything is based on the judge and the jury. I mean, the Jets have been historically awful at drafting in the last 7 years. Historically, the Jets have the least amount of drafted players on their roster that have been drafted over the last 6 or 7 years. I saw the stat. I don't know the exact data, but historical. And that's because Idzik and McCagnon aren't good.
Yeah.
It's not super complicated. Like, the buck stops with them. Like, I don't think people understand. Terry Bradway was a remarkably solid NFL scout, and Mike Tannenbaum knew when to listen and maybe when not to listen. Not super complicated.
That's a perfect assessment, by the way.
I mean, and then there's also systems. I mean, look, the Patriots have not drafted all that great. On the flip side, they pick up all sorts of characters. And forget about the permission to pick up, quote-unquote, troubled guys because of all the winning. I'm talking about, a Vannoy or just other people that, there's systems and there's judging the talent at the top. And that is what sports is about. By the way, this is why I'm completely convinced, Adam, that after I buy the New York Jets, that we will win a Super Bowl. There's no doubt in my mind, because I'm going to do a good job in hiring the GM, who she or he is going to do a good job, because I'm going to have input on hiring the coach. And if I make the wrong hire, I will move very quickly. I will move unbelievably. I mean, when the Jets cut their third round pick this year, and I'm now in it, right? Yep. Now with my Instagram fame, all these players, I recruit all, like, I know all these kids now. Like, I know so much more about college football. It scares me how much I know about it now. I know a lot. And what the Jets did was remarkably smart. But who has the, you know, Joe D is the reason I'm excited about the Jets.
Absolutely.
I think he's the guy. This is the guy we've been waiting for. I really believe that. And I feel like over the next 3 to 5 years, it will manifest. It takes a lot of courage to cut a third-round pick. Now, it wasn't his third-round pick, which makes it easier. But, I mean, Tremaine Johnson got benched.
Yeah.
The whole defense is hurt, and they're benching their highest – like, they're making decisions. And I understand, you know, Gaze is going to have his judgment by the media. But the reality is like, I'm – it's very easy to me. And what you saw in Patrick Mahomes and the way he interacted with his mom, and let's not forget, this is a kid who grew up with a dad who was a professional athlete, mm-hmm. made money, who had whatever, the ability to be entitled or what have you was quite high for a well-off kid. And the reality is, and I don't know him, but like clearly I'm listening to your story and I've heard a lot of stories, like it's a good kid. And you know, when your mentality's right and you got physical attributions, you are more likely to be successful than if you've got the greatest attributions physically, but your mentality is broken.
I know Jets fans, you know, childhood friends, my best friend Stone, my producer Bob Stu. There's no one I know who loves the Jets like you. What was your thought process on the Jets, Gary, going into this year? Because I thought it was going to be a fun year. I was all in on Darnold. Still am, by the way. I think he's going to be a star.
You're going to love this. I do, too. I am pumped because I got to, you know, our buddy and longtime Jets beat writer, you know, Rich Cimini, had yep. me on his podcast before the season. And my answer, on the record, you can go cut it in. I don't know how that works on your show, post-produced, not post-produced. If anybody's listening, wants to know if it's true, go listen to it. I went with 7-9, which was on the very conservative side for the optimism from a lot of people.
That was my exact prediction, by the way, for the Jets. Seven and nine, a lot of fun, building block year.
By the way, it's going to happen.
Ooh.
I still think the Jets are going to be 7-9. Like, I mean, they're back. Their schedule gets really interesting, and I don't have insight on this, but, you know, if Jenkins and Mosley and Quincy, you know, Quinnen, excuse me, because Quincy's, what a great kid he is, so sad. But Quinnen, like, if the majority of these guys come back, it starts to get a little interesting. I mean, I don't know. All of a sudden, the Pittsburgh game looks different. The Jacksonville game.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not fully sold on this Minshew thing yet. Like, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know. I'm actually in a very weird place with the Jets, which is I didn't think we were going to make the playoffs. And that obviously for any Jets fan, we all know that tends to be the North Star, right? I didn't think they were going to this year. I thought it was going to be a building year. The Darnold stuff is devastating because I want him to get as many human snaps as possible. You don't want to bleed into next year, so I'm glad it looks like he's going to be coming back now. Obviously, that was like a gut punch.
Oh, but, just brutal.
You know, but listen, I went into the season, and in that podcast, I talked about concern about the offensive line, concern about the corner position, and concerned about the kicking position, and that's exactly what's manifested. Like, exactly.
You like Adam Gase?
I am outrageously on the other side of a lot of the emotional overreaction. I'm a very, very big Adam Gase fan. I actually am. And for the record, because a lot of people listening right now that have no context of who I am or where I sit on this, I'm uncomfortably happy talking about many of the coaches from day one that I was pessimistic about, not as excited about.
Sure.
I think he really genuinely is a phenomenal quarterback coach, minimally.
I agree.
And I looked at it this way. You know, whether it's the thing that every Jet fan dreams, which is it becomes a Pete Carroll Belichick situation, which is the second or third stop is the right stop, right? Or if it doesn't, if he literally, you know, obviously this season's going to be very tough to turn into a major positive. If he ends up burning out in 2 or 3 years and it doesn't work out, if nothing else, the fact that Sam Darnold's year 2, 3, 4 come under his guidance, I'm unbelievably excited about. And look, the offensive line is really struggling. Listen, this is a real sports show. Let's have a real conversation. I'm watching, you know, to your point, I'm weird. I'm watching film. I'm watching replays. I'm like really watching. I'm talking to opposing players. I'm like really in it. The Jets offensive line is struggling right now.
Yeah. You can't function. Function like that.
I mean, I don't know this to be true. I've talked to him a bunch. We're friendly. I'm a big fan and have been a long time. But Brian Winters looks hurt to me at best, very hurt. I think, Assembly and Khalil have to, like, I mean, you know, listen, and the anchors of Beecham and Snell. I mean, like, look, this is an offensive line that's struggling. There's nothing else to say. And we've also played a really intriguing situation. I think people get very emotional. Let's get more tactical. We've walked into three straight defenses that are way up there at the cornerback position. We literally are. When you talk about Denzel Ward and Gilmore, right, and the Buffalo, like, Pasty, we've walked into three straight situations where pin your ears back and blitz on every play is a viable option. Everybody loved it when we did it with Cromartie and Revis. Like, we played three straight weeks where people can blitz the house, and in week one, no continuity in offensive line. And in week two and three, you're talking about Luke Falcon and Simeon. Like, this is not complicated. And we lost our second receiver, which has completely transformed the passing game. That's just the truth. And so this is not confusing. I mean, I could be emotional about it, and I'm like every other Jets fan. I've watched every snap since 1982. I'm in the mix here. But if Darnold's right, it doesn't even fucking matter.
Right. No, you're right. And it's all about him. And I don't think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a star. I really think Sam Darnold, Gary, has stardom written all over him.
Look, this is fun because I got to recruit him. Vayner Sports starts, and then our first year, we're in the final meeting for Darnold, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, it was surreal. And this is a true story. If you talk to his dad, Mike, his amazing mom, it's Sam. Literally, this is true. In his living room, I say, if I had the choice, Sam and Darnold, of you going to Vayner Sports and going number one overall to Cleveland, or you going not with Vayner Sports and slipping to three to the New York Jets, I'll choose number two. So it's a fun story. Listen, the kid has got everything. It's going to be, listen, his pocket presence, he can do everything. It's just a matter of time. And this is, I believe, fully written unless it's injury.
I agree with you. I love, by the way, when you have on Twitter and Instagram the baseball cards. I was obsessed with baseball cards growing up. How about football cards? Do they right now for you have the same kind of feel or value in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could have made a small fortune if you bought Patrick Mahone rookie cards a couple years ago. Yeah, sports cards are back. You go to eBay, completed auctions right now. Everybody can look up. My big thing, though, is if the investment is in basketball and soccer.
Wow.
Because of the global nature of the market.
Makes sense.
We have a lot of Chinese money coming in to the sports cards world. You have a lot of new money from 30, 40-year-olds in tech land, and it is absolutely a basketball culture. Like, you know, I mean, since I've been yelling about this, and this is not, I wasn't yelling about this specific card, but like LeBron James rookie cards in a perfect grade, the core, like, affordable chrome one has gone from $1,100 to $2,400 in the last 4 months.
Wow.
So I think old basketball, like Dr. J rookies, like Kareem, Wilt, like that stuff is very intriguing to me, old basketball. And then I think soccer. I think the crescendo moment when the World Cup is back in North America, which I think is maybe 6 years from now, I can see people really making a small fortune on soccer cards. And then it becomes a fun game. Like, I bought a ton of Lamar Jackson rookie cards before the season because Darnold and Baker's were going through the roof in speculation for this upcoming season. And I was kind of looking at it, and I understand market behavior. So I was like, you know, I kind of like the way Lamar played. He's gotten some weapons. And I love that first game against the Dolphins. And if he lights it up, I bet you his card goes up. I mean, literally, it played out exactly that way. Not to make myself look like a genius, I bought 8 drillion Darnold rookie cards in August, and I can buy them for 25 to 40% less right now because everyone's off the bandwagon. But if people are listening, and I know this is a demo who's listening, if you love daily fantasy and gambling, betting on the sports card market is such an interesting way to make money in a way that you get that same high from fantasy where you get so much more upside because it's not an all or nothing game and you actually make bigger multiples than if you hit a 16 parlay, if you're right.
I never thought of it that way. It's like daily fantasy. It's like gambling, but doing it with sports cards.
I mean, literally the moment Luck retired, you should have saw what happened with Jacoby rookies on eBay.
Wow.
Stuff like that. And they're up 30, 40%, 50%. Like I believe a lot of people who are listening right now that are deeply knowledgeable and use gambling and daily fantasy sports as the way to show and peacock to their friends that they're smarter should take that money and energy and invest it in sports cards. They'll make a lot more money. Not a little more, a lot more.
That's great advice from the great Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, you're the best. I always appreciate the time, my friend. And listen, continued success. One of my favorite people.
You.
Always love talking with you. And
thank
just
you.
Keep up the great work, Gary, and everything you're doing.
I appreciate it. I'm going to end with a P.S. because I saw it with my own eyes this weekend. I am ecstatic with the Jets' fifth-round linebacker, Mr. Cashman, number 53.
Yeah. Yeah,
He's got something. That is the. I know it's a. This is classic Jets fan talk. It's tough to talk about your rookie linebacker that went round five as like the bright light, but like there's something that you know we hit it with Herndon last year. You know I'm excited about him coming back. People forget that he's coming back. Brandon Copeland's coming back. This kid's developing a little bit. Again, I don't know how hurt C.J. Mosley is. Is he out for 7 weeks? Is he out for 1 week? You know, obviously you don't know these days with the NFL. But I don't know, man. I'm starting to get very – this is crazy talk after getting blasted the last 2 weeks. I don't know. I think it'll be a far more interesting of the rest of the season.
I think it's crazy when you look at the schedule. As long as Sam is healthy, I think the Jets have a great opportunity for this. Seriously.
If the offensive line, if they – again, not that they have the greatest depth at offensive line. I don't know – like if I'm running the organization, if I'm the coaches – if you could somehow, whether it's just an unbelievable amount of film work and practice, if they somehow can get that unit a little more cohesive and they can get these defensive players back, I loved. And when I say I loved the trade they made for this Harrison kid. I don't know if you know anything about him. I've gotten really educated at him. Like, he's a Temple kid. He started a bunch of games for the Colts last year. I don't know if people have been watching the last 2 weeks, but he's played all right.
By the way, everything that Joe Douglas has done has been really smart and really calculated. I wish he would have been there for the start of free agency and the draft this past year.
Me too.
Yeah.
And by the way, being fair, because I'm obsessed with Joe D, he made one mistake. If he signed a different kicker, there's a very sneaky chance we might have snuck out week one.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Even though I do think it was a nice parting gift from McCagnan during free agency. But that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
It sure is. Thank you, brother.
Gary, you're the best. Gary Vaynerchuk, CEO of VaynerMedia. For more of me, Adam Schein. Who doesn't want more me? I love me. You could listen to me on my SiriusXM radio show, Schein on Sports. We always get the best guests. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Steph Curry. I mean, we live for this. Best guests in all of sports talk radio. Best callers. It airs every weekday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. You can also listen to the radio show on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Adam Schein, not telling you to wager on football, but here we go.
All right, so all the Scheins won last week on Thursday nights. I won, Jolie won, Maya won, Theo finally won on Thursday night football. Jolie's in sixth grade, Maya's in fourth grade, Theo is four, he's in pre-K. So we have the standings working. I'm 3-0 picking the Thursday night games. Jolie is 3-0. Maya's 2-1. And Theo, finally, getting with the rest of the family, getting a victory. Now the spread for Thursday night football this week, it's the Packers favored by 4.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the one occupational hazard for me with fandom was football. My kids are obsessed with the Yankees. My kids are obsessed with Syracuse. Sadly, I made them Knicks fans, even though Maya, who loves winning, wants to jump ship and start rooting for, you know, the Golden State Warriors or somebody like that. I didn't give them a football team. I let them choose their own team. I grew up as a diehard Giants fan. That ship sailed over a decade ago. So Jolie's a big Packer fan. And she's obviously going to take the Packers, favored by 4.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Maya's a Patriots fan, but she also picking the Green Bay Packers. Theo is still a free agent, but he does have an Aaron Rodgers jersey, so he's picking the Green Bay Packers. I'm picking the Green Bay Packers. Bob Stew, there's no way you're picking Philly, are you?
Well, it's funny. Usually I just lose to you. Last week I lost to your entire family after picking the Titans. That was a huge mistake. It's funny. I do want to pick Philly. I just can't. Short week, too many injuries at wide receiver. The Packers' defense is unbelievable.
That's it.
And we've seen like a new identity with the Packers. You know, the defense just helps them grind out games on offense. It's a completely different offensive scheme. I love what LaFleur has done with Rodgers. You got to think this is going to be a big game for the Packers' offense, though. The Eagles can't stop anybody in the secondary. I will also reluctantly take the Packers.
I love the Packers. And listen, people laughed at me when I said on Shine on Sports the Packers are going to have a top nine defense. We had Matt LaFleur on Shine on Sports. We had Aaron Rodgers on Shine on Sports raving about the defense. Mike Pettine is fantastic. They got big-time talent, young talent. I love the Green Bay Packers. So we're all on board with the Green Bay Packers. Now, my record this year against the spread, and we'll pick every game on Shine on Sports on a Football Friday on Mad Dog Sports Radio, it's phenomenal. 10-6 week one against the spread, 12-4 week two, 8-8 last week, which I'll take, you know, especially with all the upsets and whatnot. You know I'm picking my Buffalo Bills against the spread. New England is favored by 7. I said Bills start the season 4-0. Hey, let's go Buffalo, let's go Buffalo. We had Sean McDermott on the show, the Bills coach, last week. The Bills, forget the points, Bob Stew. We are winning the game outright. This was my Cinderella team preseason, and I am jumping through a table when the Bills make the playoffs.
Like, as a big Jets fan, I will also happily jump through a table if the Bills beat the Patriots. Come on.
No, you make a good point. Bills win this week, I'm jumping through a table.
Absolutely.
Forget about the playoffs. This week, I'm jumping through a table.
Now, we got to start picking out the table. What kind of table will it be? What will it be
probably
made out of?
Probably one that's made of wood, which is already broken when I jump in it, so it seems like it's a bigger act than it actually is.
Well, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
I got to think of myself,
out.
Right?
You got to think of yourself. You can't get injured jumping through tables here.
Would be a good story, though.
But Adam, the Patriots have given up 1 point per game on defense.
That's right. They also have the second-best defense in this game. Bill's defense is tremendous.
Wow.
I hope Devin Singletary's healthy. If not, I trust Frank Gore. It's an upset special. That counts as a major upset coming up for week number 4.
Here's what's on Shine's mind.
So I co-run a kids' fantasy league, which is great bonding with the kids. And all three drafted. And they wanted to take Patty Mahomes, my guy. They're obsessed with him in the first round, 6th overall, and they did. In a related story, we have Patrick Mahomes on our team, and we're 0-3. So this week, the big debate was Jimmy Graham or Eric Ebron. And Jimmy Graham, let me carry the 1-0. 0 total fantasy points. Eric Ebron, 6.2 on the bench. The final score, we lost to the Schiffmans, 91.2 to 85.3. Now, I was not a math major at Syracuse. In fact, I took only one class, probability and statistics. I got a B- in it. That was my sophomore year in 1996. 6 points! We would have won if we just would have started Eric Ebron. You can't make that up if you tried, but wait, there's more. Last week on the podcast, I said, all right, it's go time for this DraftKings league I'm in for the Daily Fantasy. So I say on the pod, well, I'm going to take Mike Evans and Jameis Winston as my stack. Look at the matchup. Bob Stew and Mikey Fitz, this is a true story. They, on Friday, during a commercial break on our show, they talked me out of it. Now, being fair to them, I decided to go with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and they were sensational. But obviously, Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, unbelievable, unique, and I absolutely positively would have won. Nice job, boys.
Adam Schein, fantasy football legend.
That was so much fun. Thank you for listening to another incredible episode of the Adam Schein podcast. Gary V, he is simply the best. Bob Sue, incredible as per usual. Thanks to our listeners on SiriusXM On Demand. Thanks to our listeners on Pandora. Thanks to all our listeners on Apple and with Stitcher. Please hit the subscribe button. Leave a review if you love the Adam Schein podcast. And who doesn't love the Adam Schein podcast? You can always catch me, of course, every weekday on my SiriusXM radio show, Schein on Sports, which airs 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
This is the Adam Schein Podcast. Touchdown! For more from Adam Schein, listen to Schein on Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, SiriusXM 82.